If you've got a Bible with you, you need to turn to three different places, but they're just very short passages. Isaiah 59, Matthew 6, and Ephesians chapter 4. Now, you don't have to really look them up. I can assure you they're in the Bible. You can check them afterwards. Isaiah 59, Matthew 6, and Ephesians 4. I'll share it again when we get to that point. But let me just pray beforehand. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we turn to the living and active Word, we pray that your Word would do its work. Lord, we need to fear you more. We need to revere you more. We need to honor your Word. We need to understand your Word. And so we're asking the Spirit of the living God to help us with all of these things. You are a holy God. You are an all-consuming fire. You will never, ever condone sin. Lord, please help us to understand what it really means to say that we believe in the forgiveness of sins. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Keith spoke from Psalm 130 about the mercy of God, not charging our sins against us. That is, against those who humbly in repentance come to him through faith in Jesus, seeking his forgiveness. And so when you read Psalm 130, and it was said at the Bible study on Wednesday night, that you know, he talks about how there is forgiveness with God. But just before he says that, he says, Lord, thank you that you do not charge us with our sin. You do not mark our sins against us. You do not hold our sins against us. And that sounds like a bit of a contradiction, because the psalmist is saying this, thank you, Lord, that you don't do these things, but there is forgiveness with you. But we also know that God actually does hold sins against people. So you sort of got to contrast this, that with God there is forgiveness, but contrast it with the biblical truth that God does, he does keep a record of sins of those who die impenitent, or those who die without Christ, who on the day of judgment will give account. And being condemned, they're not going to be standing there saying, well, Lord, the only reason I committed this sin was because of this. There's none of that. They will be condemned already and will be cast into hell. God does keep a record of sins, but is a record of the unbeliever's sin, because we believe the truth. There is forgiveness with God, and we have availed of that forgiveness through faith in Jesus. There is forgiveness with God for sin, for all who genuinely seek it. Those who truly seek God's forgiveness, they don't make or aim to make sin socially acceptable. They're usually, I hope and pray, they are usually people who understand something of the sinfulness of sin and of the awfulness of sin before a holy God. They're not the sort of people who have paraded around our towns and cities masquerading it with rainbow flags or anything else. Sin in any shape or form is never acceptable to God. And it doesn't matter if you call yourself the Christian Gay Society. It doesn't matter if you call yourself the Christian Alcoholic Society. It doesn't matter what term you put. If you put Christian on the front of it or tag Christian anywhere, it will never, ever, in the eyes of Almighty God, condone sin. Because God cannot ever find sin acceptable. No matter how often people lie to themselves that God accepts their sin because he feels sorry for me because this is just the way I am, or no matter how often people think that God will accept their sin or their sinful ways, no matter how often they lie to themselves that God doesn't or won't judge them but loves them just the way they are, is wrong. God will never, and you need to emphasize in giant letters this morning, never condone sin. It's impossible for God to condone sin or to turn a blind eye to it. But as Keith said, and as the psalmist teaches, praise God, there is forgiveness with God. You know, even though the born-again Christian, and this is important, even though the born-again Christian received, past tense, okay, if you're a Christian, you have received forgiveness for your sins, past tense, it's been done, okay? Even though the born-again Christian has received forgiveness from God, they don't lead a sinless life. As we Christians say, and I hear Jimmy quoting this quite a lot, as we Christians say, Christians are not sinless, but what, Jimmy? They should sin less. Do you hear that? Christians are not sinless, but we should sin less. Having received our initial forgiveness from God, that is when we were justified by faith, and we'll go off with all of the cliches here this morning. When we were justified by faith, that is when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we were justified in God's sight. It is as if we had never sinned, just if I'd never sinned. That is how God looks upon us, just if you'd never sinned, through faith in the Lord Jesus. Having received that initial forgiveness from God, that completely removed, or certainly should remove, any prospect, possibility, or fear of future condemnation or judgment for our sin. Do you understand what's being said here this morning? And I know Christians struggle with this because we sin. We still commit sin. But from God's eyes, it is justification. We are justified. It is just if I'd never sinned. And I'm going to say it again. That, therefore, should remove, or certainly should remove, any prospect, possibility, or fear of future condemnation or judgment for our sin. Those who have been justified by faith in Jesus have, as the writer to the Hebrews says, have their hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and should be inspired by this to live their Christian life in service to God, to other believers, and to the unbelieving world. So I'm driving this message home this morning. Okay? Is there any Christian here this morning who does not believe that their sins are forgiven? Thank God nobody put their hands up, or we're going to have to do an awful lot of counseling in this church. So every Christian believes that all of their sins, now here's the more difficult question, all of their sins, past, present, and future sins, are forgiven. Who believes that? Right? So we all believe that to be the case. Okay, let's see what Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, that's your sin, your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Hear it again. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Turn now to Matthew chapter 6, and very famous verses in Matthew chapter 6, reading from verse 9 through to 15. Jesus is speaking, says this, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive men their trespasses, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. For if you forgive men their trespasses, their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He's speaking to Christians. Do you hear what he's saying? If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Are we forgiven or are we not? Is God a schizophrenic? He's nearly making me suffer from mental illness as I'm doing this and beating myself up over my sin. Turn, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're reading from verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 4. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, you have the Holy Spirit in you. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, who is a guarantee, who is the down payment, who is the seal of God that you have been redeemed and that you're going to be in heaven. And Paul is right and said, do not grieve the Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Isn't this incredible? Something seems to be missing here. God is saying, your sins separate you from me to the point where I hide my face from you. Then he says, if you don't forgive other people their sins, well then I'm not going to forgive yours. And now we're being told, don't grieve the Holy Spirit, but rather forgive one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. You seriously would think God was suffering from mental illness when he inspired these. Isaiah tells us, sin separates people from God, and our sins have hidden God's face from us. Well, to whom is Isaiah speaking? Well, firstly, he is speaking to those people in Israel who, he says somewhere else, who honored God with their lips, but their heart was far from him. These were the people from among God's chosen nation who continued to put up a front of religious piety, but whose hearts had grown cold toward God. And although they had an outward appearance of being godly and being religious, they had been playing the harlot with other gods and were willfully sinning against the God of Israel. Their sin separated them from God, and their sins had hidden God's face from them. And secondly, Isaiah spoke to those who had become willful backsliders and had embraced the customs and the practices of the nations around them. They had been caught up again in the things of the world, in ungodly and unrighteous living. They had lost their passion and their love for the Lord and his ways, and they had turned their backs on God. This is who Isaiah is speaking to when he says, your sins separate you from God. Your sins cause God to hide his face from you. How easy it is for the born-again Christian to put on a front of religious piety when they've actually allowed their hearts to grow cold toward God and his ways. Do you know, you could be sitting here this morning and that's just you. You could be listening to the podcast and that's just you. The born-again Christian keeping up the front of religious piety when you know already your heart has grown cold toward God and his ways. How easy it is for the born-again Christian to be caught up in the ways of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and lose their passion for Jesus and his purpose. Are you this morning honoring God with your lips, singing all the songs, praying all the right prayers, doing all the religious Christian things? Are you honoring God with your lips, but he knows that your heart is far from him. In the prayer Jesus taught his disciples, there is a very clear presumption. And it's not just me that presumes this. I hope that you presume the same as me. But when Jesus taught his disciples to pray what has been known as the Lord's Prayer, you have this presumption that those he was teaching had a relationship with God. Because he said, when you pray, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. Now, we would say Judas would be one that we would probably question. I'm not sure he did have a relationship with God at all. But when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, we believe, I hope we believe, that they had a relationship with the Father. And because they were in a relationship with God, and please remember, it is impossible to be in a relationship with God unless it is through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so because they were in a relationship with God, we have to believe that they were justified people. That it was just as if they had never sinned as far as God is concerned. Or they could not have had a relationship with God. They certainly couldn't call upon the name of the Lord in a way, and certainly couldn't call God Father. So they had to be justified, and if they were justified, then their sin no longer separated them from God, nor hid his face from them. Isn't that right? You'd have thought that. Until Jesus specifically taught them to pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Why would Jesus say this to believers? What sins is Jesus speaking? Are we forgiven or are we not? Has God forgiven all of our sins, past, present, and future, or has he not? Or is he holding some back, maybe keeping it a secret that on the day of judgment he's going to bring out this other book which is called Christian Sins, and we're going to have to stand before God to give account for secret sins? What sins is Jesus speaking about when he said to his disciples, when you pray, say, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us? If their sins are all forgiven, for what sins did they require forgiveness? And what did Jesus mean if they didn't forgive others, then their heavenly Father wouldn't forgive them? Well, as the Apostle Paul points out in Ephesians 4, Christians, those who have been justified in God's sight, can grieve the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. We grieve the Holy Spirit when we willfully, as Christians, sin against God, when we give in to temptations or succumb to our baser desires. Remember, as we've said, Christians are not sinless. But with the Holy Spirit's help, we should be striving to be sinless, or to sin less. And when we, who live in these sin-cursed bodies, in this sin-cursed world, succumb to the desires of the flesh, the world, and the devil, we grieve the Holy Spirit. And this grieving of the Holy Spirit mars our koinonia, our fellowship with God. And when we mar our fellowship with God, it separates God from us. Do you understand? Nothing has altered as far as our relationship with God is concerned. When the person becomes a Christian through faith in Jesus and in Jesus alone, they are justified in God's sight. There is no condemnation for the believer. There is no fear of last day judgment and being cast into hell for the believer. It's not going to happen. It's the unbeliever who needs to fear. The believer is justified in God's sight. However, when we willfully sin, giving in to the desires of the flesh, the world, and the devil, we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and this separates us from God, from enjoying fellowship with him, and causes God to hide his face from us until we confess our sin, repent, and seek his forgiveness. also, if you who are justified, forgiven sinners, if you hold other people's sin against them, that is a sin. And therefore, that sin separates God from us, not as our loving Father, but our fellowship with our loving Father. And then God, our Father, separates himself from us, saying, I will not fellowship with you until you forgive, so that I might forgive. Sin, sins, and unforgiveness affect our Christian life. If we don't quickly address it by confession and repentance toward God, it can potentially lead us to start putting on a front of religious piety while our hearts grow cold toward God. We may present on a Sunday morning with an outward appearance of being godly and religious for a while. It'll not last. We may present with this outward appearance before we too, like Israel, will find ourselves playing the harlot with the world, and we will get caught up in ungodly and unrighteous living. Thanks be to God for his word, and particularly in 1 John 1 verse 9, when the apostle writes these words. If we confess our sins, that's those sins that we are prone to commit because we live in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world, not sins that are going to send us to hell. That has been dealt with once and for all through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Even though born-again Christians have been forgiven for sin as far as condemnation and judgment go, we're still prone to sinning. Is there anybody here this morning who doesn't sin? I'm so glad again no one put their hands up. We're all prone to sinning, and therefore we ought to be making every effort with the help of the Holy Spirit to be washed and cleansed daily from sin and to seek to draw near to God. As sin separates us from God, as it mars our fellowship with him and causes God to hide his face from us, we ought to separate ourselves from sinful behaviors and attitudes and base desires as we endeavor to maintain our fellowship with God. Christian, because of Jesus and through faith in him and in him alone, please hear this. Our hearts have been, not something that's going to happen in the future, it has happened. Our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. God does not mark our iniquities or our sins against us. Because we've received faith to believe in Jesus, we've realized the wonderful good news that there is forgiveness with God, and we have availed of that. Our sins, from God's perspective, past, present, and future, are all forgiven. I believe in the forgiveness of sins should inspire us to live our Christian life in service to God, to one another in Christ, and to the unbelieving world. We are not sinless, but we should strive to sin less so that we can reflect more of the glory of God. If you're unsure about when you sin, is God going to judge me? No, he's not. If you know him and you love him, he's not. He may discipline you as a father disciplines his children, but you are under no condemnation as far as Almighty God is concerned. And do you know why? Because Jesus has paid your debts in full. So Christian, your hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. God will never mark your iniquities, your sins against you, but he will discipline those of his children who willfully sin. we are not sinless, but we should strive to sin less. Maybe there's somebody this morning here or listening to our podcast and you're not yet a Christian. Well, I guess, and I make a lot of assumptions, but I guess it's possibly because you just don't believe in the forgiveness of sins. Or you don't understand, is probably more true, you don't understand the seriousness of being in a sinful state of unforgiveness before a holy God. God's word teaches that if you die without forgiveness of sin, you will be eternally separated from God. Those who die impenitent, those who die unrepentant, die without any hope whatsoever of heaven. But it doesn't have to be this way for you this morning. Let me remind you again of the words of the psalmist. There is forgiveness with God. There is forgiveness with God for you if you will repent, turn around from your sin, and turn to God humbly. Come to God through faith in Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. If you do this morning, your heart will be sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. You will be brought into a right relationship with the living God, and you will be free from any future fear of condemnation or judgment. But like the Christian, if you keep on willfully sinning, you will be subject not to a judge, but to a father's discipline. That is how much God loves you this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand that from your perspective, our sins are forgiven. Christ has paid our debt in full. If you were to punish us in a condemnatory way, in a judgmental way for sin, it would say that the death of Jesus wasn't enough. But we believe that his death was sufficient to satisfy the just and holy law, the demands of your law. But Lord, we recognize that although from your perspective we are forgiven, we live in sin-cursed bodies in a sin-cursed world. We're prone to sinning because we're sinners. But thank you that you have provided a means of daily cleansing for us, Lord God, from the sin that clings to us in this world. Thank you that you've told us if we simply come to you confessing our sin, you're faithful, you're just, you will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, by the power of your Spirit, Lord, we ask you, please help us not to keep on sinning, but to sin less, not to grieve the Holy Spirit, not by our actions, Lord God, to have you to hide your face from us in fellowship. But Lord, help us, please, to keep short accounts with you regarding our sin, so that our fellowship with you is never marred, and that we might walk closely with you and serve you all the days of our lives. We pray for anyone this morning, Lord, who hasn't yet received forgiveness of sins. Lord, we declare it aloud again, there is forgiveness with God for you. If you will humble yourself and come to him, seeking his forgiveness through faith in Jesus. Lord, may the Spirit of God carry that message home into people's hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.